Welcome to the Covenant of Peace radio broadcast, the teaching ministry of Pastor Blair Bradley. This program is dedicated to bringing you the glorious truth of God's Word, one verse at a time.
A mighty fortress is our God.
We are living in powerful days, and we are seeing tremendous changes in our lives, our culture, our nation, and in the church. So now more than ever, we have a great need to exercise spiritual discernment and to know what the Bible teaches about the important issues that we all face today. So let's join Pastor Blair as he continues our study on the Word of God.
Welcome again, my beloved in Jesus Christ. We're continuing our verse-by-verse journey through the Epistle of Jude, and today we're going to begin to examine what Jude taught about how to win souls in an age of apostasy. So let's read Jude verses 22 and 23 together. "And have mercy on some who are doubting, save others, snatching them out of the fire, and on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh." Now, over the last 9 months, we've gone through a very thorough verse-by-verse, line-upon-line, precept-upon-precept examination of the Epistle of Jude that I pray has been a real blessing to you. Now, judging from all the calls and the letters and the emails that you have sent my way, this study has helped many of you, and I'm so grateful for that. Keep in mind that I'm going to make this study available both in CD and in book form when we're finished. Also, I'm posting these teachings on sermonaudio.com, so you can go to sermonaudio.com/covenantofpeace and download all of these teachings. Now, during our study, we found out that the Epistle of Jude, more than any other book in the entire Bible, deals almost exclusively with the issue of false teaching and heresy that sneaks into the church under the guise of being some new revelation or a fresh anointing, and which fights against the Christian faith by deceiving unstable and undiscerning people. Now, although Jude only has 25 verses, we have seen that by slowing down and examining each verse in the context in which it was originally written, that Jude was really telling us quite a bit. Now, in the same way that we are engaged in a war against terror as a nation, we who love Jesus and who make up the Church of the Firstborn are also in a war against error. And this war, and like the war against terror, this spiritual war against error is a long and protracted war over knowing and understanding and loving and obeying divine truth as recorded for us in the 66 books of the Holy Bible. Now, during this study, we've learned so much about the real danger that we face today against those who bring in false doctrine and heresy to the Church of Jesus, that Jude says these men creep into the church under the guise of being a self-proclaimed prophet or an apostle with all sorts of fantastic visions, dreams, and angelic visitations, which are nothing more than ancient heresies that have been repackaged and relabeled as being something new and improved. And we have seen that because so little emphasis has been placed on serious, deep, line-upon-line, precept-upon-precept Bible studies and fervent and effectual prayer meetings in the modern church, that sound biblical truth is almost at a going out of style. And today, people are more susceptible to being deceived and taken away by these false teachers than at any other time in the 2,000-year history of the church. Truly, all of our economic and technological advancements have not elevated spiritual discernment among God's people at all. More people who sit on pews all across our nation today understand less about the Bible than they did when the majority of people were illiterate. And that is the direct result of the church in America taking the wrong road many years ago by emphasizing people's individual felt needs to the expense of them knowing and learning sound biblical truth. The result is that today pastors are under great pressure to perform so that the church is full of people and money is flowing like a river, that little attention, if any, is spent on the substance of what is actually being taught and what is being believed by God's people. And I cry out to all those who have an ear to hear to repent quickly for leaving your first love. Repent for making the church into a social club. Repent for bringing the marketing techniques of the world into the church so that our churches will grow. Repent for bringing worldly psychology into our churches, because God is much more concerned that his people are holy than he is that they are temporarily happy. Repent for canceling the prayer meetings and the Bible studies and instituting pottery classes and yoga classes. Repent for bringing in people who do nothing but tickle the ears of God's people with soft and smooth words of happy and unserious issues while the world is on fire. Repent for ordaining perverted people into places of authority in the church. Repent for encouraging women to leave their children in homes and stand where they ought not stand. I tell you that Jude cried out that we all need to earnestly contend for the very same faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. And unless and until we get back to the Bible, dear friends, and back to sound biblical truth, that will never happen. Jude has shown us in this book the various characteristics of the heretics, how they're just like Korah and Balaam and Cain, and how they make merchandise of God's people, selling their trinkets and their anointing oil and their prayer cloths and their water from the River Jordan and their wood from the cross, and how they teach that the highest love on earth is love for self, rather than teaching people that the highest form of love is a selfless love for God. How they teach that gain is godliness, how they promote people doing what is right in their own eyes, how they have made covetousness and materialism and greed to become virtues in many people's minds rather than the wicked sins that the Bible says that they are. So now we've come to the two verses which teaches how that we are to deliver souls who have been ensnared by false teaching. These two verses tell us more than just about soul winning in general. They're geared to winning people who have believed a lie and are following heresy and have been deceived. Now here in verses 22 and 23, Jude gives us two different ways to minister to people who have been deceived. Number one, use compassion toward them. And number two, have mercy with fear. So as we minister to people, we must remember that there are some people who are involved with false teaching or who dwell inside cults and false religions who either don't know or who do not believe what those people are teaching. These people may physically sit among the heretics, but they do not accept what is being taught. They could be the children who go with their parents and sit and listen to false teachers, but yet God has graced these children to not accept the apostasy that is being brought forth. They could be the wives who go with their husbands to preserve family unity, or husbands who go with their wives. And there may be several other factors that cause people to sit and listen or even belong to false religions and cults. Yet God has seen fit to preserve their souls, and they do not accept what the heretics are bringing forth. In verse 22, Jude says that we need to use great compassion when dealing with these particular people. They are in an impossible situation. They are not able to verbally denounce the ungodly teachings, either out of fear or for other reasons, and they're forced or they feel compelled to physically go and attend. Yet in their hearts, they're not accepting what is being taught. And I suppose that you may know people like this. I meet people all the time who may sit in a place where it is taught that Mary, the mother of Jesus, is a, quote, co-redemptrix, unquote, with Christ for salvation, or where it is taught that Jesus did not live a sinless life, or where it is taught that God was once a man, or where it is taught that salvation is brought about through human works. But they personally don't believe that. They reject the lies in their hearts, even though they physically sit among those who do believe it. So we must pray for these souls, dear friends, and we must deal with these precious people with mercy, love, and compassion in the hope that the reason why they attend false churches will be moved, or else God will work in His will to save their loved ones. Now, periodically, due to their family connections, these people will even say things that's not right. They will participate in rituals and ceremonies about which they do not agree. But again, we have to be merciful to them, realizing their situation. But as we do that, we must never refrain from speaking the truth to them. We must clearly and faithfully speak truth even to those who are in bondage. You see, over the years, we have lost the meaning of many of words that we use every day. For example, when I was young, the word gay used to mean happy and carefree. But today, the word gay has to do with people who are sexually perverted, and there is nothing happy about that. The word cool used to mean that the temperature was lower, but today cool means interesting or acceptable. The word bad doesn't mean wicked or evil anymore. No, bad means cool. And so it is with many words that we use every day. And this is also true with words like love and mercy and truth and compassion. Today, when many people use the word love, they don't really mean the same thing that people have meant for centuries. The word love is used today as a synonym for lust in many places, and something sweet and innocent and pure becomes something ugly, evil, and sinful. For example, parents say today that the reason they do not discipline their children is because they love them. But that's not true. The inspired, inerrant, infallible Word of the Living God commands parents to discipline their children, and that includes to spank them. Let's read Proverbs 13, verse 24. He who withholds his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him diligently. Now, this verse certainly does not condone beating children unmercifully, and neither do I. But this verse clearly does say that when a father withholds the rod on his son, then God said he hates his son. He despises his son. He loves his son less than he should, precisely because he is not correcting him to prepare him for life. Now, I know that some of you might be cringing right now, but beloved, I didn't write this. God the Holy Spirit moved upon Solomon, whom the Bible says was the wisest man in all the world, to inspire him to write it. Now, I realize that very popular child psychologists would tell you today that God's word is all wrong and that what children really need is just a time out. But that has never been true in ages gone by, and it's not true today either, because God Almighty, the creator of the universe and the Lord who loves your children a whole lot more than you do, says that there are times when a man who loves his son will chasten him with a rod. So as believers, we are to reject any teaching that contradicts the word of God, and we are to humble ourselves to the authority of God's word and obey what God has said. So the real reason that people don't spank their children is not because they love them, but because they don't want their children to be angry with them, and they don't wish to appear to be harsh or cruel to the world. And so they are more concerned about what their children of the world thinks of them than they are in raising godly children. And so today, millions of parents raise children who have no discipline at all. And then they turn these spoiled children out into society to live their selfish and self-centered lives and force other people to have to deal with them. And all I'm saying is that that's not love. It's cowardice. We've also messed up the word truth. In our postmodern world, the word truth has really taken a beating. Today, truth means whatever I want or whatever pleases me or even my own opinion. It is common today to hear people say, well, that's your truth, but I have a different truth. No, they don't. Divinely inspired truth is not privately given. It's not privately understood, and it's not privately interpreted. Divine truth means something that is exclusive, because by definition, if something is true, then anything that disagrees with it is false. In John 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, notice that Jesus didn't say he was a way among many other ways. He didn't even say that he was the best way. Jesus said that he was the way, the only way, the exclusive way. Jesus didn't say that he spoke about truth or that he believed in truth or that he was come to teach truth. No, Jesus clearly said that he is truth. And the truth that Jesus is an exclusive truth that overrules all other statements and makes everything that disagrees with Jesus to be a lie. The Apostle Paul agreed with this in Romans 3, verse 4, when he said, let God be found true, though every man be found a liar. Then Jesus went on to offend just about every person on earth when he finished the verse and said, no one comes to the Father but through me. And by saying this, Jesus was saying that every other religion or human philosophy on earth was wrong about salvation, and therefore those who understand and believe what these false religions teach cannot and will not go to heaven. Jesus was telling the Jewish priests of that day, and by extension all of us in our day, that if anyone ever hopes to go to heaven at all, it will only be through him and through him alone, by his grace alone, going his way alone, obeying his word alone, submitting to his life alone, and bowing to him alone. Well, I'm going to have to stop right here, but please join me again on the next broadcast as we continue our journey through the Epistle of Jude. May God help us all.
Dear friends, if this radio broadcast of line upon line, precept upon precept, teaching of God's holy word is a blessing to you, will you prayerfully consider supporting us financially? We want to increase our exposure here on the Gulf Coast through more radio stations and through the internet. Would you pray about coming alongside of us and help us do that to God's glory? For further information about how you can partner with us in seeing the gospel triumph in our area, or to receive a copy of today's broadcast, go to our website, www.covenantofpeace.net. Until next time, May the peace of God keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.